And it's just skipped by 11:30. Welcome back to Sandown Park, where the Speedstar 20 rapid-fire head-to-head races will be staged tomorrow night. Lots of betting options with tab.com.au. If you're looking for those on the Tab website or your app, head to Racing Extras, and there are 47, I think. And I would say that there's, if you like betting on possessions in the AFL or other bet types like unders and overs in the AFL, this is something that you can do in a racing sense, because the Tab have offered these novelty bets, which you can also hopefully turn a dollar on. And that's why we've got the guys assembled again. Troy Little, how are you, Troy?
Good, John. Good to be here.
Great concept, this. I'm particularly interested in some of the bet types, like the times, the splits, and the head-to-head. These are as close as that we are getting in racing to exotic forms of sports betting.
Gives everyone an option, and I think the newer generation of punters gravitating towards these types of bets, head-to-head and that, it's easier for them to make an opinion and to get involved, and you can structure a few multis around them, and yeah, it's good fun.
I think that's the key, multis. A lot of modern-day punters will like to maybe put three or four together, and then maybe, if they're quinny, take the Tigers to win the premiership.
Oh, geez, they're short enough now, the Tigers, aren't they? 375?
Your weight of money, Nick. But cross-code or cross-sport betting.
Yeah, exactly right. And as you alluded to, it's a good opportunity to maybe get involved with the sport of greyhound racing if you do want to have a crack from a betting perspective. And I dare say a lot of punters have a bet on the dogs and then fall in love with the sport. So it's a good way to hopefully get a new audience as well. And those sports betting clientele, which is massive, you know, ages 18 to 30, hopefully the greyhound racing world can start to tap into them through these sort of bet races.
Jason Adams is joining us. How are you, Jace?
Good morning, John. I'm well, and great to be here out at Sandown. Good to see you here, and very good reason as well, of course, kicking off the May Carnival here at Sandown Park, and it starts tomorrow night, the Speedstar, and it promises to be a really, really good night.
Now, one thing I want to touch upon, you boys, of course, you talked with Mickey Felgate before with the panel looking at this. The one variable I want to bring up is the weather. Now, that if we get some rain, that could have a significant impact on what's going to happen on the track.
Yeah, I think so, and Troy will probably be able to elaborate on this a bit more, but I feel with racing greyhounds, we kind of forget they are elite athletes, and they do have a lot of comparisons to humans. If it starts teaming down tomorrow night and it's 13 degrees, as it's forecast, some are going to stand up and not mind it at all, and some might shy away from it. But Troy, have you seen any of those factors in the past?
Yeah, for sure I have. Yeah, I've seen certain nights when it's got very heavy with rain, and certain bitches get bogged down on the fence, like I said earlier, and it can take its toll, and you can have to adjust to how the track is playing. And there's a few matches here where there's some railers and there's some serious wide runners, so it will be very interesting to see how the track plays for the first few heats if it's wet.
And something that we can announce right now on RSN 927, starting tomorrow night, Jason Adams will be joining us 4 to 5 times throughout the evening on our race night and bringing that information to punters. And I think that's a magnificent service, Jace, because it just gives you that real-time intel that if you've got a position in a race and the circumstances change, you can adjust and accordingly balance your book.
Yeah, spot on. And I'll be here on track speaking to all the trainers as well, so they're obviously the experts when it comes to their own greyhounds and what the others are going to do throughout the card. So it's going to be great to get some insight from them, and most importantly, get it out to the punters who are planning to invest in this great series.
Before we have a look at some of the match races, Nick, are you guys surprised at the amount of interest, volume of bets that this has generated?
Look, I'm going to be honest. I'm surprised at not only how many bets there have been, but how big some of the bets have been. So just recapping some of the bigger bets on the heats as well, and obviously these are probably from punters that certainly know what they're doing. The very first bet was a $200 bet on Not Available at the $1.50, and even though it was $200 and not $2,000, it did set the scene that there was going to be good support for Not Available, and that money certainly has continued into a $1.40, and yesterday a $3,000 bet at the $1.40. Rip and Sam, one punter, happy to take the winks like odd with a $1,200 bet at a $1.10, and Poke the Bear's been quite popular. Bets of $750 at a $1.70, $1,300 at a $1.60, $2,000 at a $1.50. Hopefully any price is a good price if it's a winning price.
And Nick, just from experience, mate, and from memory of years gone by for a Speedstar event, is it more than what we'd usually see? Is it a sign of people starting to understand the format a little bit more?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely spot on, Jason. And obviously a lot of punters, if they're betting on the dogs, some might take Trifecta, some might take Quinellas, some might take First Fours, where this is all gravitated towards the wind pool. Obviously those options don't exist. If they did, it'd be handy taking the Quinellas, but I think we'll see that more. And It's a little bit complicated, the format, so it might just take a little bit of time for punters that are not really into greyhound racing to get their head around it. But once you get your head around it, you realise what a great concept it is, and we'll start to see a lot of betting on the head-to-heads and also the final as well, because if you do like a runner to win their heat, there's every chance you want to be on them to win the final, and that's when we start to see some good support as well.
Yeah, it was interesting last year. They went up very early for the all-in, and there were a few errors there and stuff, and there were a few pounced, but this year they saved.
You're still smiling.
Would you like to clear your conscience?
No, I'm fine there, but this year they waited. It was the right thing to do, wait until all the fields are finalised, and then went up, and then everyone can get involved.
You were talking earlier to Michael about Quick Jagger, which I thought was quite an interesting concept. You were talking about the greyhound crossing the continent. That is something that is an unknown. Look, Quick Jagger come out and win his particular match race quite easily, but it is a variable that probably in this modern day of racing needs to be taken into account.
Oh, for sure. People don't understand the work that goes into travelling anyone, like elite sportsman or a greyhound or a horse, interstate, then back, hydrating them, making sure they're comfortable, they're eating well, they're fed right, they're picked up the right time. A lot of things have to come into consideration when you're going back and forth. Some dogs in the big kennels go back and forth, and you'll see on their times they won't lose a neck. And some dogs lose two or three or four lengths if they haven't, you know, settled in properly, or it takes them a little bit long to get over their trips.
Mm. I think especially for the first time as well, if they jump on the plane for the first time, they've come from Brisbane to Melbourne or something like that. Being humans, it's going to take a bit out of us. It's going to take a lot out of the dog as well. But some of them, as Troy went down the line, or some of them bulletproof, some of them just take to it and they're fine. But a few others need a bit of experience before they can really handle a trip like that and after it, perform at their best.
I think Mick Burles, who put the polish on the cleaner, he trained at Longford in Tasmania, which was just out of Launceston. He'd have it down pat. He'd come over on the ferry Thursday night, stay here Friday night, Saturday, straight after the races on Saturday, have the cleaner back on the boat. The horse would be back in the yard 9 o'clock Sunday morning, so his routine was down pat. So I think it's probably understanding, as you said, truly, the intricacies of that particular equine or canine.
Yeah, it is, and especially like a dog like Quick Jagger, he's probably used to it, but it's still, he's getting on in age, and it's going to take some sort of little toll on him going back and forth.
Well, Uphill Jill, of course, went over for the Cup, and then she went up to Sydney, so she's done a few Ks as well. So it is something the punters really do need to take into account. All right, I'm going to open up, guys. Which race, Troy, are you looking forward to? Match race are you looking forward to on
which
Thursday
match
night?
Race am I looking forward to? I would say I'm looking forward to the Elevated and My Redeemer match, which is in the Bull Collins.
Yes.
Because I've invested in the race, and I'm going to be on My Redeemer. And I think it's a cracking match because their qualifying times, there's absolutely a split hair between them. But I think the preparation of the six is going to benefit him in this race, and I think he can get the job done.
So that's the Bill Collins. That's the third edition of the Bill Collins there for those that do want to invest. And My Redeemer's been $1.80 into $1.75 today, Elevated at $2.10. So good to see you've steered a couple of punters into the hopeful winner, My Redeemer, so far throughout the course of the morning.
Hopefully he gets the job
so,
done.
So, Troy, what price do you have My Redeemer in your assessment?
Oh, I thought he would have been $140, $150, yeah.
There we go.
Would you like to get onto your bosses, Nick?
No. Bet first.
So $175, that's value for you.
Oh, I think it is, yep.
Because I think with these match races, we have to say to punters, it's like you're betting in a football match here. Mm. So it's say Richmond v Collingwood, 175, 210, something like that.
Exactly right. And I dare say that's why we need to listen to these guys, because they can not only hopefully steer us into a winner, but let us know what sort of price we should be taking.
So 175, My Redeemer. Troy Little Hazard is at $1.40, so that's a nice over. Jason, which race are you looking forward to the most?
Probably that one is the number one. It's not often we see the number one qualifier and two qualifier go head-to-head. That's Elevated and My Redeemer. I think Elevated will win that one, but one of the other matches I'm really looking forward to is in the Race Callers event. Match number one there, Dinah Chance are taking on Magic Wheel. They're two young, up-and-coming stays, and I think Dinah Chance might get the better of Magic Wheel, but certainly a great insight to see what they're going to provide to us over the next 6 months.
And what price do you have that greyhound? Is it $1.30, Nick?
Yeah, that's exactly right, $1.30. So more than happy to take the double there.
Yeah, that makes about
$2.
That'll
firm up too, I reckon, $1.30.
What price do you have him, Jase?
Is that Dinah Chance?
Yeah.
I haven't done my own prices on here, but around that $1.30 mark sounds about right. And I agree with Troy, probably will shorten. I think it's maybe not one that you'd go straight out on the nose just for him, but certainly one you can chuck in the most multiples and boost up the price a little bit for others that you like.
All right, we'll go through some other races. Nick, are there any of the races that stand out from a punting perspective over the others?
Well, there has been a couple of runners that have been well backed, and we kick things off in race number one, where there's been support today for Solitary Girl, who's now $1.80. He Shall Fred, a $2 chance. Do you reckon Solitary Girl will get the job done?
No, I'm leaning towards He Shall Fred.
Okay.
I would have leant towards Solitary Girl a month or so ago, but I think she's just tapered off a little bit. And I think He Shall Fred, he's a bit of a line chaser. He loves sort of gunning a dog down, and I think this format will suit him. I think the red will come out and lead. And if he's just sitting on her tail, I think he can gun her down.
And there has been good support for Not Available. We mentioned $1.50 now into $1.30. But if you're going to build those multi-bets, you do think this looks a good anchor.
I couldn't believe they went up 150 or 160. He was a dead set. He should have been $1.30 chance. Just drawn perfect. Leo's Gifts are a really wide runner.
I was just about to say, Troy, it's almost a solo trial for
Not Available.
He's jumping from the inside of Leo's Gift, who we know is just going to race really wide on the track.
Yeah, and I think Leo's Gift will lead till about the 600-metre boxes, and I think he might have a couple of lengths on Not Available, but then... come turning for home, I think he'll just come through on the fence and get the job done.
Heading to the Lizarine Ripping, Sam, is $1.10. Is that the right price, Troy?
Yeah, it should be the way he's going. He's going sensational, and you cannot pot him at all.
Surely he's the testing material for the Sandown Cup at this point of time. I know Tornado Tears had that absolute blinder first up, 41.70-ish, I think it was, but just the way this greyhound has this ability to win is quite phenomenal.
Yeah, he's come through the ranks and just kept getting better and better going up in grade, and I think his preparation's spot on for the Sandown Cup coming up, and it'll be interesting to see what he runs tomorrow night on the clock. So he's not going to be 10, 15 lengths off this leader. He's only probably going to be 5 or 6. So, yeah.
And I think he's a perfect example as well, as we spoke about before. The greyhounds that were hardened go from state to state. That's Rippin' Sam. Of course, he won the Galaxy just a few weeks back. He's competing at the highest level. As you said, JT, just keeps winning as well. So he's a little elite performer, and going to be awfully hard to beat tomorrow night. And it's going to prepare him so well for the Sandown Cup, where no doubt he'll start a sure price favourite in the all-in market.
Quick Jagger versus Dinah was a Quick Jagger's 125, Dinah was is $4. I'm intrigued, Troy, as to what your assessment in this race is price-wise.
I think the $4 is a bit of value, just because of the factors that I said before, flying back and forth and coming back in trip fight. 700 to 500 in greyhounds is like coming back from 1,800 to 1,400 or 1,600 in horses. It's hard to do. This dog's a very good dog, but I think the check is going to give a little sight for the people that take the $4.
Okay.
Yeah, can I just, once we've done this, I want to pick the boys' thoughts on the final as well, because I dare say a lot of us, if you're going to back a runner to win their heat, you want to have something on the final. We'll take a look at the Speed Star with Rippin' Sam, $1.25 favourite, and you do think that looks a pretty safe anchor if you want to take the shorts for a multi?
You think so, yeah. I don't think anything else can run quicker than what he can.
Okay, $1.25.
Yeah, I think that's about right. Look, there doesn't look to be too many dangers looking throughout the field. I think in each way go might be Scott keeping.
Okay.
Or Simon keeping
Simon
as well.
Keeping.
Simon keeping $7.
Simon or Scott?
Simon.
I often get confused between the two, and I'm probably not the only one. Simon's the one who I think is a much better greyhound. He's got a freakish ability, but again, he comes up against, in terms of the overall, when it comes up against a real star in Rippin' Sam, who rightfully so is $1.25.
Got excited then, because Scott's a $21 chance, but Simon, he's the $7 second elect. Poke the Bear has been well backed, a $3.10 favourite for the Bill Collins, and heads the market from Quick Jagger, $4.50. My Redeemer at $4.60. Poke the Bear, the one to beat.
He should be. There's not much meat in that market, but I'd say he's they've got that right.
I think Elevated and My Redeemer, a lot of people are keen on Poke the Bear, but he hasn't really gone to that 2019 sort of bracket.
Is he still maturing, guys? I think he's a really, really up and coming chaser, but I just want to see him, you know, really bust that clock.
You're right, and then he absolutely busted that clock at the Meadows two runs ago, like 29.46.
That was great
there.
Time.
That's absolutely fine.
And he's beginning well, consistently too. It's not something he's probably done in the early part of his career.
So you can just see him over the last few runs starting to mature.
Yep.
And that's what he really needs to do to go to that next level. And with Shona Thompson as the trainer, that's going to happen, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll be shaping up nicely for the Harrison Dawson heats next week. This is going to serve as perfect preparation. But he comes up against the greyhound Dinah Paddy in his match. Troy, keen to get your take on Dinah Paddy. She's still young. She's probably raced out of her depth, given her experience. She was a finalist in the Launching Pad. Does have a PB of 29.23. Do you think she's any danger of giving Poke the Bear a shake in that match?
Because she's hit and miss at the start. If she did hit the lids and ran her 5.05, she would probably lead. And she would give him something to catch, but she tends to shift off the track a little bit, and I think he should get enough room to go through at probably a later stage of the race, unless he leads.
Yeah, and we speak about the early pace and who we think is going to lead. Do you think it plays a massive part in a two-dog race? Because to me, probably not, but the stats do say otherwise. Mick Foley put together some stats for the Bill Collins event over the last 3 years. We've had 20 events, 16 greyhounds who have led have gone on to win, with this four having come from behind. So I think it's an interesting stat. In a two-dog race, you feel the stronger one will get over the top, but history says the leaders have the upper hand.
Yeah, that sort of a heat, yeah, maybe, because there's no guaranteed leader. There's not much between them when they both jump at their best. And, yeah, there was a few interesting cases last year when dogs were outside dogs at the first turn. Some dogs didn't like it and pulled back. And, yeah, so maybe that's where the stats were coming to the fore.
Let's wrap up the panel here, looking at tomorrow night's Speed Star. I'll get your best bets, guys. Troy, what is your best bet anywhere?
I'm going to go give the listeners a bit of value. I'm going to go to the last heat of the whole night, and I'm going to go with Go Seek Fernando against Zipping Inglis. I just think Zipping Inglis is getting on a little bit, and he was a bit flat for my liking on Sunday, and I thought that the Go Seek Fernando coming back in distance, if it does hold the front, I think it'll take no end of beating.
What price did you take?
I've just thrown in some multis. I haven't taken a straight-out bet with it.
Okay, $1.65.
Yeah, okay, that's about right. I think it might firm up a little bit.
Okay, take the $1.65.
Yep, throw it in multis.
Look at Jason, he's itching to give us his.
Just wants itching. To give... Come on.
Donna Forrester defeats Slingshot Gypsy in that same event that Troy mentioned. I just feel Slingshot Gypsy will lead and probably a good candidate for the fastest split markets, but I feel Donna Forrester is going to get the better of her late. And also in the Liz Reen match number 3, I think Back on Love is a terrific price at around $2.80 to win his match.
There we go.
What price Black Mambo for me?
What price?
It's heat number 2 in the sprint.
Taking on Shadale, and that's a great matchup.
That's
two warriors of Sandown going
at it. $1.90 each or two.
There's another one where you're going to have Shadale's going to be running around the outside. You know, he runs very wide. And
he does.
Black Mambo's going to be on the fence.
So if it's raining, you're more keen with JT's selection.
No, the other way around. Maybe not.
Gotcha.
That's why we need to get Jason Adams' intel before
Jason,
that race.
Jason, the track walker, the new Sam Hyland.
Hey, guys, thank you very much. It's a fantastic concept. Lots of bet options, tab.com.au, and you head to the racing extras.
Yep. So just recapping for those that are just joining us, if you do want to bet on any of these head-to-heads, they're under the racing extras on the Tab app or the Tab website, and then there's a host of markets there down the bottom, Speedstar head-to-head. So hopefully we can make a couple of coins throughout the next 24 hours.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Troy. Thanks, Jase.
No worries, JT.
Yeah. And tomorrow night, of course, I'll be jumping in on the air through on RSN to give all the updates, but also follow us on Twitter at SandownDogs. We'll have a lot of behind-the-scenes footage and information published on there.
Absolutely. Thank you, gentlemen.